Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just gone 5 past 5. You're now listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today, Michael Senker, Quentin Seller and Steve Holmes. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Happy New Year. And if you're listening at home and you want to get involved, you have anything to say, you can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
So it is a new year. Well, a lot of people say new year, new you. It's a time to kind of reflect, take a look at your life, try and think about, you know, what changes you can make for the better, maybe make some resolutions. Is that something you do?
No.
Shock horror. No, have you ever done resolutions or things like that?
No.
No.
Well, I don't understand them.
Yeah, you do.
No, go on, explain to me, what's the resolution?
Well, you know, you say you want to, or want, whether it's want to drink less, or there you go, that's a Freudian slip.
We know what you're doing.
Whoops. Want to drink less alcohol, want to exercise more, want to lose weight, want to do charity work, all these different things. Why does it have to be done
January the 1st? Why can't you sort of do it in August?
Well, yeah, no, it doesn't have to. It's just a good kind of...
But that's sort of like being in bed when the alarm clock goes off, isn't it? I get up at 8:01 and then can't get up because it's on an odd number and have to wait till it gets to 8:06 now.
Is it similar to that, is it?
Well, isn't it? Because it's another thing. It's like everybody's going to have to... January the 1st, from now, I'm not going to drink anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a target day, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a target day.
Probably.
Too.
I don't know, but I don't know who decided it's got to be... Why can't it be August the 3rd?
Well, yeah, I suppose just because it's the start of a new year, so people kind of equate that, okay, so it's a new year, looking forward...
Get it over with quickly.
Yeah, maybe. Well, gyms are always busier in January and less busy in February. Yeah.
Especially after excessive December.
It's like, phew, gosh, that's
relaxed now, you know. Let's not drink as much. Let's not eat the chocolates every time you walk past the table.
Exactly.
All that sort of stuff, you know.
Have you made any resolutions?
Not really, no. Just trying to give up sugar, to be fair.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, and it's surprising how difficult that is.
It's in everything. It's shocking.
I know.
It's the hidden sugars. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Do you have sugar in tea and coffee, things like that?
No, I sometimes put it in coffee, but not in tea. No, I give that up a long time ago. It's just generally stuff that you drink as well, you know. Alcohol is a killer.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, it is difficult. Yeah. So water and lettuce it is, then.
Sparkling water.
That's the way forward.
Yeah, sparkling water. And learning how to open a bottle of sparkling water is not easy.
No, some of them are really tricky, aren't they?
Possible, yeah.
So how long are you planning to keep this no sugar thing up for?
Oh, another hour. I don't know. I'll try and...
What time is it?
This, you know, lose a bit of weight, see what happens.
Yeah.
There it goes, yeah.
Oh, well done you. What about you, Quentin?
I stopped doing them years ago, but it's like an ongoing process of how to change and do things differently. But the one about giving up drinking is normally mentioned by people at 3 o'clock on the 1st of January in the morning when they've pissed out of their head. Sorry, they've had a little bit too much to drink.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, well, there's no point anymore, is it? Because I've just lost 3 hours of it. So.
Yes.
No, it's...
Start as you mean to go on.
Something my parents told me, you write your New Year's resolutions, but I think most of them are gone by the end of the month.
Mm.
So what's the point?
Well, I think the idea maybe is to try and be more realistic. You know, I think people, and we've talked about this on the show before, and I've interviewed people about it, you know, if people go from, you know, not having been in a gym for 20 years to suddenly going, right, 4 times a week, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to give up alcohol, I'm going to give up sugar, I'm going to give up carbs, and, you know, they suddenly want to change their whole life overnight, it's not realistic that you're going to stick to that.
All these kind of things, it's got to be a process of, say, evolution rather than revolution.
Yeah.
You build yourself up to... It's like crash dieting.
Yeah.
We talked the last time about some of the diet fads that are around or intermittent fasting.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, if you can stick to it, fine. If you try and do it too quickly,
yeah,
then the minute that period of dieting ends, you will put weight back on again.
Mm.
I mean, I know. I mean, yeah. I say so.
It's like media driven as well, isn't it? It's like before Christmas, everything on TV is chocolates, turkey, and cooking.
Eat.
There's a cooking program every 2 minutes,
mm.
and then January it's
diet books.
It's all diet books. Yeah,
I read so much about giving up eating, giving up drinking, giving up smoking, giving up sugar. I gave up reading.
Brilliant.
That's safer.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? That's very true. So I saw this headline and this massively appeals to me. I kind of assume it's the sort of thing that would appeal to everyone, but maybe not. So I'm really interested to hear your thoughts. So the headline is "How I Found Inner Calm by Smashing Up an Entire Room with a Baseball Bat." Forget mindfulness. Overwrought women are venting their anger in Britain's new rage rooms. So you can pay to go somewhere with like a some kind of baseball bat type weapon, and you know you're protected and everything with a guard on your face and all that, and you go into this room and you just smash it all up. How good is that? Oh, please tell me this isn't just me. Does that not excite you in any way?
No.
Really? Are you serious?
We actually discussed before we came on air that we just say no to everything.
No, it's not true. It honestly doesn't.
Really, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't pay like 20 quid to go in.
That's because most women or most people don't vent their feelings or their anger when it happens. I happen to be one of those people that loses it like there and then, and then it's all done with. I couldn't go into a room and think myself, I'm going to smash it up. I've got to have a reason.
I'd rather do a box fit class or something like that where you actually getting rid of it. I mean, box fit is great.
Yeah, I like
but
that.
Smashing stuff up, I just don't get
no,
that.
I don't get it.
No?
No, but I'm saying, for what reason? You've got, all right, something triggers you, like, and you get a growl on, or you want to jump out the car or what, all the things that you used to do when you were younger. On that spur of the moment, but to think of, oh, I've got an appointment at 4 o'clock to go and smash a room, doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Unless
someone's paying you to do it.
Okay, do you not ever get, okay, this is really confession time now. Do you not ever get, I would never obviously do it, but if you're in like a really posh store or something, do you not ever kind of visualise...
Hannah, you need treatment, sweetheart.
You don't kind of think it would be really fun to just, like, push all the glassware onto the floor or something. I would never do it. It's just like a quick little thought.
I understand why they've got the padding on the wall.
Just
thought
it was soundproofing, but it's not, is it? No, but I think it's the kind of thing that I'd prefer to do, though I have never done it either, is pull that bottom left-hand can out of the stack that hasn't been in a supermarket.
Exactly.
So they all
fall
down.
We used to do something when I was a kid. There used to be a... long gone now. There used to be a little mini supermarket, and I'm talking about when I was like 10 or 11 years old, and they used to lean all the cans up against the window.
Yeah.
Right, so that it would be like a massive pyramid.
Mm.
And you could just gently bang the window and you watch the can slowly go back and then push it a little bit more and then hold all the cans, because the glass has to be springy, otherwise it breaks.
Yeah.
So it just springs and you could push it and all the cans would go all over the shop, and then they'd go in the morning and they think, how come these cans every day?
Yeah, they'd think someone had broken
in. No CCTV.
In.
But that was great fun. But
isn't it the same?
But
like,
that was spur of the moment. That was...
Yeah.
It wasn't, let's go down and knock the cans down.
No,
They probably thought, Hannah's been round.
Yeah. Have you not seen those videos of, dominoes or Lego, things like that, built, I would not have the patience to build them, but suddenly you just push the end and then the whole thing...
That's fun.
That is great.
I enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
The look on your face of the enjoyment you was getting at even thinking about smashing up was scary.
But if you want to vent anger, then what you do is you start knocking them down about halfway through the process of somebody setting them up, because that would really make them angry.
Yeah. It's interesting where it comes, because I was talking to Giles about this and he said it's because I'm creative. He said it's all to do with being a creative person, that idea.
You're a
of
psychopath.
Like,
no. You want to go into a room and smash it out with a pickaxe handle?
Yeah, maybe not a pickaxe.
It's the same thing as a baseball bat.
Okay. But no, I mean, I would never... Oh, I don't know.
You know what's so funny is we've had this conversation before. When you talk to the women about this on the same subjects, which I know you do, it's such a different answer, like... answering.
Well, the funny thing is this article and the whole thing is geared towards women. So I don't quite know why, whether they're saying that men do express their anger more than women do. So
what happens
this is a good outlet
for women. The men drive the women to it. Men are doing this all the time, and the women are being like very nice and polite, and then all of a sudden they go, put me in a room with a baseball bat and I'll vent my feelings there.
I think it would be so much fun. I mean, it's also the kind of... Because you would never, or a normal person wouldn't kind of destroy property in such a way. You know, that there is no... You know, you wouldn't go into your own house and do that. And you wouldn't kind of do that to... Well, you shouldn't be doing that to a person, you know, letting your anger out on someone that you know and love. Obviously, that is wrong. So this kind of gives
you someone you don't love.
No, but it just kind of gives you to do something.
It's an escape from being ladylike as well. You can just get in a room and bash things
true.
Up.
Yeah. Oh, it appeals to me. I'm going to dream about that. We have people messaging. I better check my messages. Oh, here we go, from women. Julie says, I'm with you, Hannah, a long-time serial killer of inanimate objects. Just don't have the energy anymore. Cookie says, Hannah, you need help. And then she says, I'm not generalising here, but I think it would be good for menopausal women. Or possibly, that's not me, by the way. But yeah, no. Yeah, I guess, yeah. I can see why. I can see she's laughing at me now. Okay, let's move on to fitness. DIY tests that reveal how fit you are for your age. So let's see how many of these we can do. Either if you think you can do them or we can try and do them now. But we'll see.
We're on radio, Hannah. Nobody would see it.
Yeah, I know.
You're taking into consideration that I do spend most of my time in a wheelchair.
Yes, we don't have to do it. Okay. Just imagine. Rise from sitting on the floor without help. So I have to say...
Or making a noise.
That's the whole different thing. I have to say that I did try these earlier. So yeah. I've already kind of... Steve, you look like you're preparing to do this.
Yes, I was
you
going about
go
to do that, yeah.
Go on, then.
Come on. Get out of the chair.
Yeah. So sit on the floor.
Oh, sit on the floor.
Yeah,
okay.
Sit on the floor. So I did it with my legs crossed.
Oh, right. Well, that's always difficult.
Oh, okay. So sit on the floor and basically you stand up, so without putting your hands or arms on the floor. So you can move your legs.
What time?
Did you just lean on your arm?
No.
Oh, didn't you? You sure?
Yeah, I did.
You did lean on it.
I'm lying.
It's quite hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's impossible unless you can sort of rise.
It's not impossible because
really?
I did it.
No, I get down there, I just look around for something else to do whilst I'm there.
Make the most of your time on the floor.
Come back Wednesday and get me.
There's another one which you did there. Sit to stand from a chair, again, not using your hands.
Yeah,
so that's obviously a lot easier. Quentin, you gonna do it? Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all doing it.
Michael's in. Yeah, well done,
Michael. We've all done that. Check your walking speed. Now, I've always been told by my family that I'm a fast walker. I find it very hard to kind of stroll really slowly. And I don't need to be walking for fitness. If I'm just out walking, unless I'm in uncomfortable shoes, I generally walk quite quickly. Do you?
So that's an interesting one, because when you go for a walk in the morning, say on the Paseo or something, you've got your headphones and you're listening to the radio, at TRE, obviously. You think, I'm walking quick, and then somebody comes hurrying past you walking, you think, gosh, I better move up a little bit, you feel as though you're walking, but...
And you see different paces of, But if I'm walking with other people, people are generally kind of going slow down a bit. I feel like I'm sort of marching ahead, but it's kind of a natural...
Everybody feels like a child at side of you.
Dragging them along with me.
I'm just going to make it quick, because otherwise it could be on it. But as you know, I have a... a neurological disorder, I can't stand still.
Yeah.
Right, so I have to walk. I have to walk or sit. So but I can't walk slowly. So I can't walk along slowly. I have to walk along exceptionally fast.
Yeah.
Stop, sit down, finished. So it's really weird.
No in between. No. Yeah. Do you walk much?
Yeah, I don't stroll, though.
No, so you're quite a fast walker.
Yes.
Yeah.
I leave my wife behind, which she doesn't like very much.
Well, we should all walk together, then, and see if we all think we're fast walkers, whatever.
Is that after we've got up from the floor without using our arms and chair?
Well, the exercise class starts at 6.
But you always look at the Olympics. They have, like, the walking...
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, they do a weird...
To me, that's like having something like the loudest whisper competition. I mean, what is the point of seeing how... you're nearly running. Run!
Just run!
Looks like great exercise, though, doesn't it? Because they move everything.
Yeah, but when you see them standing still, all their joints are all over the place. They look...
like Mr. Tickle from Mr. Ben. Yeah. Push-ups.
I'm 74 years old. I'm happy to get up. I'm on about a push-up.
Fair enough. I don't know.
Sorry, how many push-ups can you do?
I don't know how many. Probably not many.
Sorry, are you asking?
Well, anyone?
No, you got no volunteers.
I can't remember the last time I did a push-up.
No.
I used to do a lot,
enough.
But not.
Yeah.
My stomach gets in the way, so it's like...
Well, as you know, Hannah, we do Pilates.
Yes,
so
we do.
We're quite
very good.
Strong in that.
Very good.
Core.
Have you noticed a difference in your general kind of strength?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish I'd done it years ago, to be fair.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it?
It's better than going to the gym, without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's good.
Really good. Yeah. This is a weird one. Test your grip strength. This is all to do with handshakes and how people... shake hands, whether it's kind of a strong shake, a kind of gripping one, or like a weak kind of, what do they call, like a wet
lettuce.
Fish? Wet lettuce, yeah.
No, this would be my normal handshake.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a grip. It's like a proper...
It's a
man's grip. Like, always, I was always taught from a very early age, you've got to have a man's grip. Put in a wet...
But then, I don't think of myself as doing a man's grip, but I do, I would grip as well.
Yeah, but... Okay,
it's just
but
a grip, isn't it?
Okay, but
yeah, you got to shake hands as well. You mean it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought, it's silly when it's a real.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want. I mean, I've had blokes when I was younger, they'd like try and crush your hand. You know,
show that they're real.
If you got your ring on your finger, and you go,
yes, absolutely.
Just a good firm grip. It was always good for business. It was a good thing in business. And when you were being,
but there's
introduced,
no need to crush someone.
No, just a good firm. Good, but that where.
Yeah. You go to grab and then it's like it's a real this is it, balance on one leg, any good?
No,
that is difficult sometimes.
Yeah
I find that more and more how can I say
challenging.
Impossible. More challenging.
It helps putting your arms out always focusing on a point.
One leg is always stronger than the other. I can do it on my right leg, but my left leg wobbles a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, go on, as I go. Hang on, she's just fallen over the studio. Go on.
Yeah, that seems quite easy. Yeah, it's quite easy for me.
Yeah. The other thing is, with women, you can do two things at once, so that makes life easier.
Like,
you
know, talk on the radio and stand on one leg.
Exactly.
Although I did keep quiet, didn't I? Right, we're going to take a break before we move on to the next one, because it's kind of gross.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Michael Senker, Quentin Seller and Steve Holmes. There's a piece here. This, I don't know why this has come up again, because I remember talking about this a few months ago. So apologies if you've done this one before, but the fact that it's come back again seems strange. You might imagine that most of us wash our bathroom towels around once a week. After all, the bathroom should be a haven of cleanliness. However, it appears that almost 1 in 10 Britons are only washing their towels twice a year. The surprising figure is even worse when only men are considered. A survey reveals they are 5 times more likely than women to wash their towels once a year or less.
Well, every year.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
That is gross.
isn't it?
I was here last time we did it.
Were you? Yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
I remember last time we talked about it, and everyone kind of said, well, that can't be true. That's just a pointless silly
article. It's going to be rotten. It's going to be...
What you'd think?
The minging, might it?
It's like, I mean, really, you'd think
where this
is coming
from,
and it would be smelly, and it would be
who's done this?
Obviously, not a white towel, yeah, anyway, is it?
Who's done the survey? Showers to You.
What, is that a company that sells showers?
Yeah.
Okay, there's your answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't believe it. It's the honest answer.
No.
It would actually fall apart. I don't think it would.
It would be infected.
It'd go rotten.
Yeah.
Literally have mould on it.
Yeah.
Well, mine always does. Right?
Okay, moving on. Men are more reluctant to share bad news than women, but are just as keen to talk about the good stuff. This is according to a new survey. So this is all to do with sharing or not, you know, when you're talking, whether it's to your partner or to friends, how often you would talk about bad things, sad things, hard things happening in your life compared to good things. Let's talk. Come on.
This is the thing that's happening now, isn't it? I had this conversation earlier today about... There's always somebody, you know, there's this health thing about sharing, caring, or that it's difficult, you know? It's like, what are you going to say to people? Do people really interested, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
If they care about you, absolutely.
As a family unit, like me, Patty, me, and Sarah, we will talk about all our, you know, like...
Issues.
Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I don't know. I don't really...
No, but if you're speaking to your family about it, then that's great.
Yeah,
that's,
but I mean...
When you say talk about bad news,
is it bad news about yourself? Or do you phone your mate and say, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? It's just like...
I think either or.
That's gossip, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But I mean, I think that they're kind of making the point that, you know, if men are talking to other men, they're much more likely to talk about positive things, you know, oh, I just won some money on the football or whatever, as opposed to say... My wife and I are having a bit of a struggle. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I doubt I know any one man that's going to say that to another man.
Well, there you go.
That's the point.
That is the point, yeah.
Phone up and speak to my mate and I say, how's the old snapper? And she goes, all right. And that's family cared about. It's just...
As you're saying...
The thing is, it really is... And we've said this before, the men from Mars or women from Venus, or the other way around.
Yeah, men are from Mars.
I mean, we just don't, you know.
But you could bet that. I think that the thing of this is, you know, I mean, obviously going to the extreme, you know, we're looking at mental health issues and things like that. But I think it's surely common knowledge is that men, people, humans can benefit from sharing and talking about their emotions.
I agree with you, but it does depend who you're talking to.
Sure.
So it's like Margaret and I will talk quite openly about the good news, bad news, are what's happening to us or our family generally. Yeah. But if I went to Michael and said, look, I've had a really bad day, it's like people don't like hearing bad news.
Hmm.
But when you're externalising it, it does make you feel better.
Mm.
So as long as the person's a good listener. Sorry, go on.
Well, no, it's just when you say about people don't like hearing bad news, I know what you mean, but... I mean, that's what friends are for. I don't mean just for hearing bad news, but friends should understand. And, you know, when people say, how are you? It's a throwaway line, just like the answer is fine, thanks. Mm. It's just it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but if you're
with a friend and someone, you know, looks you in the eye and says, how are you doing? Are you all right?
You should
be able to say, well, you know, not great.
But that's, it depends who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to trust the person to share that kind of personal information.
But I showed you a badge that I had made, didn't I? My badge that I wear. That it says, unless you've got 20 minutes to spare and you really care, please don't ask how I am.
I really do
have that badge. I had lots of them made and gave them to people.
Brilliant.
Because of the insincerity of people that say, how are you? And then whilst they're talking, and you're beginning to answer them and they're looking over your shoulder for the next person who's more interesting to talk to.
Yeah. It's true.
The question, how are you, is the follow-up to that is always going to be a lie, isn't it? Yeah, I'm great. You know, doing well. How are you doing?
Fine.
Not
how
really
are you?
That interested. Yeah. You
know. No. My one's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's.
I lifted a finger. All right.
Yeah. People shouldn't say how are you unless, you know, it's easier said than done because I think we all do it. It's more like a hello. You know, it's not a how you doing because how
are you? Is, you know, everybody. If anybody I mean, it's happened to me. It happened to me. Someone in a long time ago in America. That's how I got to this badge. It's just I would go. I was in a hotel, and the waitress kept asking me every morning, "How are you? How are you? How are you?" Just like paraphrase. After about 4 days, I told her. And she just looked there staring at her pad and thinking, when is this man going to stop talking? Because I was talking about varicose veins, talking about my piles. And she just looked, and then I went to her, oh, you don't really care, do you?
Mm.
That was it.
Yeah, it's true. Especially if you're going through a particularly bad time, whatever it might be, financial issues, family issues, grief particularly, when people ask you how you are, it's sometimes most of the time, to be honest, it's not appropriate to give an honest answer.
No.
You know, often there isn't time and it's just easier for everyone involved to kind of go, fine, thanks, are you all right? Because to give it, as you found out, Michael, to give it...
You've got to really trust somebody to tell them what you're really thinking.
Mm.
You know, there's a big trust element involved to be able to say to somebody what you want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does depend on the situation as well.
Yeah,
and, you know, how much time you have. If you're out to dinner just with a few people and you're having, you know, open and chats or whatever, then you can kind of talk about things a bit. But if you're in the middle of a supermarket and you're in the rush, you've got to get to work. Someone says, oh, hi, how are you? You've only got time to go, fine, thanks, you, yeah, good, nice to see you, and you're off.
I think as well it depends how the conversation starts. If you're phoning someone up because you know there's something bad going on and you phone up and then you say, how are you? How are you coping? How's mum? How's dad? Blah, blah, blah. But just in the chuck away thing is, how are you? How are you doing? It's what you just said is fine. But if you, I think it's a difference between, right, so and so's lost their mother or the father, you know, God forbid there's something terrible happened, and you phone up and then you're prepared to, okay, I'm going to now spend time to see how this person is.
Yeah.
It's a big difference
of the
throwaway line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you find that we'll have all been in situations where you do the stand-up, you know, the hi, how are you, with somebody who's just had some really bad news, and you think if you were that person, you'd be looking back saying, well, how the... Do you think I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I always...
I don't know what to say instead.
So I always preface that with, this is a ridiculous question, but, you know, how are you doing? How are you? I always sort of lead with that first of all, because then it does give an opening to maybe get some feedback.
Yeah. But I think, speaking from personal experience, it is always nicer when people say something than don't. Because people feel awkward and don't know what to say, a lot of people think, well, I won't say anything because I don't want to upset them, I don't want to embarrass them, I don't want to remind them of something or whatever. And if you kind of, I'm talking about in the early days of a trauma or something, you know, if days and weeks go by and nobody says anything, you kind of go, have people forgotten? Like, why is it? So it's so much nicer when people do say, oh, how are you? And you can say, oh, yeah, okay, you know. And it's because you feel like people care. So I'm really conscious of trying to, you know, be like that with other people, because, you know, if nobody says anything because they think, oh, I don't want to upset, then suddenly you're thinking, why is no one saying anything? It's weird.
Somebody says quite openly, it's like, hi, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. That he will say those words.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why are you asking me how I am and then telling me how you are? Because you haven't listened to what I was going to say to you about how I am.
Yeah.
And then you don't hear what they're saying next. I think the way that you said it, Michael, about the... I know it's a ridiculous question, but if it's... How are you? If it's that kind of traumatic situation has been, that's a very good introduction.
Yeah, definitely. It's better than
sending someone a WhatsApp and, like, sorry to hear about your mum. right, thumbs down, like, emoji.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's all in how you, we were talking about this earlier, it's how you say it. If someone's just lost a loved one, you don't go, hi, how are you?
Oh, no, but my mother-in-law was the worst one. It was like, sorry to hear about your loss, LOL.
Oh, yes, I know someone that does that. Right,
she meant lots of laugh instead of laughing out loud.
Yeah.
I never know what that means anyway.
So. Yeah, no, I know people that do that all the time. Sorry for your loss, LOL. It's like, no.
It's not that funny.
No, exactly. You know what you're saying. Yeah. Right, we better take another break.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today, Michael Senker, Quentin Seller and Steve Holmes. See, we're talking about the importance of talking more, and during the break we were sharing. It's good. It's good.
It's a lot better than standing up off the floor without using your arms.
Exactly. This is an interesting one, an article that says we spend a large chunk of our lives with our colleagues, so it's not surprising that many people find themselves falling for someone they work with. But those who do so may well be slowly losing the trust of their workmates without realising it. Those enjoying an office romance tend to have unrealistically positive views on how their relationship is perceived by colleagues. Interesting. Yes, I think that makes sense. No one's going to say that. Well, no, I think if two people started a relationship at work, I think it would be easy to kind of think, oh, that there's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I know what I'm thinking.
Does it still go on, an office romance?
You're not even allowed to say you look nice. You're not. How does it start? You can't walk in and say hello, darling. Oh, hello, sweetheart. You look lovely. Oh, you look terrific in that. you'd be in HR. You'd get kicked out. How does that even happen?
I know. Well, like, well, people go for drinks after work, office parties. You know.
It depends if you're looking at it from a if you work in a very competitive environment.
Mm.
And you're thinking, right, what are they talking about?
Yeah, what's exactly, the pillow talk going on?
Who's talking about so-and-so?
Yeah,
I mean, or if the person has more power or is higher up the organisation,
that's
mistrust, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. I used to have the most fantastic relationship with someone I was at work, but I was working from home.
that's where it can be weird with the sort of power dynamics. If you've got, you know, the boss that's going out with one of the junior sales staff or something, then yeah, it would start to be a bit, oh, what's going on? Yeah, you do. I think people would kind of lose trust, maybe even lose respect.
It used to happen a lot back in the day. That's actually where you met a lot of, you know, genuine office romances went on to be happily married couples and you know, family units. But nowadays you can't do anything like that. You really can't. You can't. Mm. You are, you know, I'm reading all the time on different things on Twitter and the different things that, you know, I've been abused by my boss. How? Well, he told me I look nice today.
Okay.
Right, that is now an offence. I mean, I saw the most ridiculous one the other day
when a woman's gone to the
hairdresser, and the hairdresser said to her, "Do you mind if I touch your hair?" He felt the need to. They now have to ask permission to touch your hair in the hairdresser.
There's a male hairdresser.
There's a male hairdresser. And a woman's,
okay. What? What if she said no?
go and get his yearly towel and shove it on her head.
Yeah.
No, right. But I'm saying office romances used to be the thing. Wherever you worked, there was always, you know, there was always a couple, you know, they would flirt together. It was actually quite nice to watch it bloom. And even when they thought it was secret, you know, everybody knew. Yeah. That's when the men gossip. That's when the men talk to each other.
Yes, absolutely. So, no, I don't think it happens that much anymore then.
I don't think so, no.
I just think it's funny.
I think it does, they just don't talk about it.
It is this whole, the difference between men and women. You ask these questions to the ladies. You know, the whole, oh, yeah, they love it. You know. Is there office romances?
Divorce rates fall as men become better husbands. Breakups at their lowest since 1970. Divorce rates have plummeted to their lowest level in more than five decades, thanks to men being more committed to their marriages. Researchers found the decline is almost entirely down to a fall in the number of wives filing for separation. They argue that this is because men's increased commitment means women are far happier in their marriages.
Who are happier, men or women?
Who wrote that one?
It was written by a man, actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
Good luck to him. Well, there's certain rules for happy marriage, isn't there? First of all, you have to understand what your wife's saying. If you turn around and say, is that okay? And your wife says, it's fine, and you carry on and do it, you are taking your life in your hands. Because that's fine.
You need to understand their language.
That's fine does not mean that.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want... it's closely behind it. Right? And you have to treat all these things like when women are talking to you, your wife is talking to you and telling you what's going on for the day or the evening or the weekend or where you're going on holiday or
what
you're
doing. Social secretary, yeah.
Right. Treat it as though you've just been presented with a document at the end of an Apple thing and just click on I agree.
Right.
Don't bother to read it because you won't understand it. Just tick I agree and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. And you think that's the answer to a happy marriage?
It's not the commitment, is it? I just listened to Michael, it's just apathy, really. Just get on with it, you know? It's like, can't be bothered.
The thing is, I mean, nowadays, you know, Patty and I, we're together, like, most days all day.
Mm.
You know, her greatest thing is if I go out somewhere. Go.
Her greatest thing.
Go on the radio again. Get out of the way.
Yeah. can't you go into the book show as well? Yeah.
But there's things, you know, women talk about, and there's loads of, obviously, books about this, and the idea of, you know, that you need to work at a marriage and that you need to work at a relationship and you need to put effort in and all that kind of stuff. Do you think as you get older and as you've been together longer that you kind of think about these things or that you kind of think about them less? Honestly, I don't want to turn into a therapy session, but you know what I mean? Do you think, oh, you know, do you think about making an effort and stuff and wanting to do things so they're happy? Or do you just kind of, you know, tick the terms and conditions?
Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. Yeah.
I remember talking to one of my wives, saying to her,
one of my wives,
what would you like for Christmas, darling? And she said a divorce. And I said, well, I was hoping not to spend that much.
Oh, God. Quentin, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I mean, we've been married just over 36 years now, and there's been good times, there's been bad times.
Mm.
But you learn, I would say that the day you wake up not caring about your spouse or your partner is the day you should stop it.
Yeah.
Because, as Steve said, it's apathy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it all the time, you get things wrong, but at the end of the day, if you don't want to make each other happy, then...
I would like to publicly say that my old woman is like the best in the world. This is not a joke, but to put up with me is something that's you deserve. I mean, 30, yeah. Act with me 30.
I think we can all agree on that one.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I think my wife is the best woman in the world. But
38 years.
His wife is the
best. Well, she knows my wife. She's seen what my wife goes through.
That's funny. Yes. We better take a break.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of today's Men Talk with Michael Senker, Quentin Seller and Steve Holmes. There's an article about ageism. I find this really interesting. I have a few opinions on this. You might be surprised to hear. Older people overwhelmingly suffer from ageist attitudes, with children as young as four contributing to negative stereotypes. People have asked young children to draw what they think an older person looked like. You get little drawings of an old lady with a stick when actually you have grandparents in their 40s. It goes to show how children are picking it up. My kind of thoughts on this, I remember having long conversations with my mum about aging and getting old, and so many people, you may be able to relate to this, so many people feel younger than they are, you know, mentally feel younger than they are, and you know, don't kind of age at the same, you know, minds don't necessarily age at the same way as bodies. Sometimes it's the other way around, but whatever, aging's a weird kind of thing. And I've listened to so many kind of podcasts and other people talking about old people and saying it in a really kind of flippant way, and I'm really interested as to what constitutes as old and why. I read an article the other day talking about an elderly woman, and she was 74 when I read slowly in the, and I was like, I wouldn't talk about a 74-year-old as being an elderly person.
Well,
and then I thought, well, what is old, and who decides what old is?
It's relative. Yeah, as you said, if a four-year-old looks towards me as a grandfather, I am, to her, I'm old. For him, I'm old.
Yeah.
But from ageism point of view, that what I have found is my tolerance has got less.
Mm.
I'm much more blunt in what I speak about and how I say it, albeit mostly politely, but you still, as you say, Mr. Grumpy, it comes through in that kind of way.
Mm.
But what is old? It used to be people who'd retired. So mid-60s, now it's probably later.
Would you be offended? No, I'm not talking about a grandchild. Would you be offended if a, I don't know, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, whoever talked about you being old?
Absolutely,
you would.
A 50-year-old,
without a doubt.
Yeah, don't. You don't like. You don't feel old, you don't want someone to look at you and look at the colour of hair or whatever and just decide you're old. No, but it's, and I get that. I totally get that. My mum had a real issue with it.
The thing is one of my things is, you. Some people get old, mm-hmm. and some people get older.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, I feel very much me that I've got older as opposed to old, because I still have my 1970s haircut. I still try and wear fashionable clothes. I try and keep myself looking younger.
Mm.
Even though I know that I'm old, so I don't feel old. Mm. Even though I've got the creaky things and take the medications for this, that, and the other, I don't feel like an old person.
Mm.
Right? I think you can go through your time feeling you know you're older. You're not old, but sometimes you read something in the newspaper or you're reading an obituary of somebody that. Like this week, you know, the footballer Franz Beckenbauer, 77.
But
if I'd read that 15, 20 years ago, I thought, oh, he's 77.
Yeah, he had a good innings.
And suddenly you think, God, I'm not that far away, you know? And
exactly.
He's probably been the fittest guy ever in the whole of his life.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly you think, well, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's happening a lot for me at the moment, is that I'm reading, a lead singer of a group or a footballer
somebody. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm 5 years behind, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I've just taken out a 4-year lease on my car. You know what I'm saying?
At least you'll get one,
getting to the stage where, you know, do I even bother to buy CDs? And am I going to listen to a whole one? You're reading
totally
it every day. You're reading 71, 72. So, and you think, so old, and I'm on borrowed time here, but I don't feel old. I feel like, you know, I'm talking about next year's holidays or buying a car or let's go and buy some new clothes and, looking at skinny jeans.
But I think that's great, because who wants ever to be at the stage where you're thinking, well, I clearly haven't got long left, so what is the point of thinking about a holiday or buying new clothes or, you know, and obviously if people have serious health issues, then that will happen to people being at that stage, not to everyone.
But that's another thing, of course, is that medication and doctors and things that are in hospital now keep you going. I mean, you know, I've had a triple bypass years ago. I should have been dead at 60 because I had a heart attack at 60.
Mm-hmm.
When my parents, you know, and their age group, my dad died at 69 with a heart attack. So, you know, things didn't keep you alive. Now you've got in, you know, you've got your diabetes medicine, you've got your cholesterol medicine, you've got your aspirins, you've got your all your little pills.
All the things that were available sort of 40 years ago.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't know anyone who was 74. No one was 74.
No. Well, people retired at 65 and died at 69.
That's right.
Yeah. That was life.
I have a question for you. At what age or situation in one's life do you stop falling over and start having a fall?
Great one.
Not good question.
I think about that all the time. And I hear people using different expressions about different people, and I'm thinking, oh, they said they fell over, or oh, they said they had a fall. Like, I don't know the answer to that. I certainly don't think it's an age thing. I assume it's a mobility thing, maybe. I don't know. I certainly
fell out of bed.
I think it's an age.
Okay. A few times I fall out of bed.
Yeah.
I think it's some age coupled with mobility.
Yeah. It's a weird one, isn't it, though? Now I've said it, you'll notice it. You'll hear different people saying one of those, you know, choosing, whether they're talking about themselves or talking about someone else, whether they use the expression fell over or had a fall.
But it's the same as being married a long time, isn't it? When you say to someone, are you married? And they used to say yes or no. It used to be yes or no. Mm. Now it's, are you married? 40 years. Now it's a number.
Yeah. Four times.
Actually, the way you said that, Mike, was a bit of a...
Oh, but it used to be like, are you married? Now, so you've been married in 4 years.
I mean, I can talk about personal experience on this one recently, because my stepfather's 91.
Wow.
And if he says... If you talk to one of his carers or somebody else, he's had a fall.
Yeah.
If he says it, oh, I fell over...
Really?
As if it's a trip.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's how you perceive it.
Yeah. That is interesting.
First thing that came into my mind when you said it was, okay, I used to fall over if I got very drunk.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be having a fall.
No.
Yeah, sorry, you got me thinking.
It is a really bad thing to do. No, I find it fascinating. I really do, because... we can all taking out the drinking side of it, in a situation at home, for whatever reason, if you fell to the ground, at what stage in your life would you decide that's having a fall as opposed to fell over?
When you can't get up again.
Okay, interesting.
Without touching the floor with your hands.
Without touching the floor with your hands.
It's fascinating because, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel old.
No.
I know that I am old. I have 74. You're meant to live 74. 74, whatever way you look at it, is old, because you're now looking... not that far in the distance. And as I said, looking in the papers and looking at the news, I was looking at a band the other day, some music, and for some bizarre reason, I just clicked on Google and it took me to somewhere else to tell me that the whole band is now dead.
Oh, God.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can still sing their songs.
Yeah.
Right? None of them are
there. So a band that you grew up with, basically. Yeah.
That's great, isn't it, for the band, you know? I think that's fantastic that their songs are gone forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, but
absolutely.
They didn't.
Yeah.
The songs did.
It is a weird one.
It's nice to finish on a happy note.
Yes, exactly.
I remember don't be good time for this, but my parents saying, oh, yes, so-and-so's died. It was all the film stars that they knew as they were growing up. And now, as you're saying, you see band members dying.
Yeah.
Or film stars that I knew, or television stars that I knew and watched when I was younger. And you suddenly realise, yes, you get to a point where you start to feel a bit more vulnerable.
But you see,
absolutely.
But then again, you watch like Mick Jagger on stage, 81 years old. You know, Ronnie
That's
Woods,
insane,
like 79
yeah.
or 80 years old. These
He's
are
going to outlive all of us.
Yeah, but you know, it's just, how do they do it? You know.
For me as well, I started at the radio in my late 20s, and when I was looking up at famous people's birthdays and things like that, there weren't loads of really successful famous people who were younger than me. Now I'm in my early 40s, there are loads. You know, most of the pop stars, most of the successful pop stars, you know, they're all, the amount of millionaires under 30 is unbelievable now.
But then I talked to some said, well, what do you used to do for a living? And they're like 22, 23 years old, and we're talking at Christmas, and I said, oh, I used to have video shops. What's a video shop?
Oh, don't.
What's a video shop?
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, a whole... a whole industry came and went.
Yeah.
And they weren't even born.
We are coming to the end of the programme, unfortunately. Oh, libraries is another one, just to say quickly, with the amount of youngsters who've never been to a library. Yeah, that's another weird one. Okay, thank you all so much for coming in today. It's been lovely to see you all. Howard Brereton is coming up after the news with Spain Today. Enjoy your weekend. I know it's only Thursday, but I'm off tomorrow. I will see you Monday.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.